That, Lord, that even though we're socially distant, we're spiritually connected by our faith in Jesus Christ and our love for you. And I pray, God, that all of those who are watching, Lord, all over this world, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would go into their homes, Father, and minister to them. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Lord, thank you, Lord, for that we're able, Lord, to read your word, Father, and to glean truths that can transform our lives, Father. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loved us, who died for us, who rose again, who chose us, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that today your word would go forth, that you would speak to me, that I may speak to your people. The Lord, that we, Lord, may learn how we are to live here on earth, that we can glorify you. So I ask all this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I entitled this message today, The Church at Pergamum, Loyal but Liberal. Loyal but Liberal. So here again, we get a chance to read their mail. As Jesus wrote a letter to the church at Pergamum, we get a chance to read what God says to them and how we are to live our lives according to that. And I want to reiterate a couple things before we get started. Know that the church belongs to Jesus Christ and that he is the owner and he has authority over the church, but also we are accountable to him. So in this letter, Jesus is writing to the church at Pergamum, letting them know who he is and who his authority is and how he operates, how he feels about his church. And we want to know what God says and what God thinks about his church. And the most important, opinion that we are to be concerned about is what Jesus thinks about his church and how we are representing him here in the Inland Empire and how we're glorifying him. And so we're going to see as Jesus is going through these seven churches who are located in Asia Minor, God has a word for them. And so we get to gleam in on what the word of God has for this church of Pergamum. Now, this church at Pergamum was experiencing some trouble. They were experiencing some persecution. And they were experiencing some trials. But even in the midst of that, they were still being focused and they were still being loyal to Jesus. And I want you to know that no matter what we're going through, yes, we're going through some unstable times, we're going to remain faithful and loyal to Jesus because he is faithful to us. He's promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. And we are to remain solely standing upon the foundation of his word and also upon his promises. And so we want to look at and understand from our key truth this morning is that the word of God provides a stable and unshakable foundation for our faith. That's why we go to the word of God, because the word of God is what provides that stable and unshakable foundation for our faith. We can stand upon God's word because God's word is true and his promises are yes and amen. And we look to Jesus' word to bring us hope and to bring us victory and to give us direction on how we are to live our lives. So we want to look at this letter and understand what is God saying? What does God say to the churches? And what is God saying to us? Because yes, God is still speaking. God is speaking to the church today, and we are to learn and hear what God says to us. And I pray that you have ears to hear what God is saying to us today. But first, I want to look at the character of the church in Pergamum. The character of the church. Every church has a character, has some characteristics. And this church has some characteristics. And I love what Jesus says. He says, to the angel of the church in Pergamum, write the words of him who has a sharp two-edged sword. Talking about Jesus has a sharp two-edged sword. A sharp two-edged sword is the word of God. Him who has the word of God. Because Hebrews talks about the word of God like a two-edged sword that cuts to the bone and marrow and also begins to discern the intention and the motivation of the heart. So here's Jesus saying, I have the word of God that I understand the intention and the motivation of the hearts of people. And in particular, I know the intent and the motivation and the characteristic of my church. So he says, hey, I want you to know that who is writing to you is the one who has the word of God that understands what is happening in our lives today. And the first thing we need to see about this church, he says that they were dwelling where Satan's throne is. This church was dwelling where Satan's throne is. Now you say, wait a minute, this church was where Satan dwelt. Yeah, they and where Pergamon was, there was a large temple and a large statue from Zeus, the god is Zeus. And so they worshiped Zeus, and they had a lot of temple prostitutes. And it was saying, in other words, that this church was right in the heart of spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, when you were Satan's throne in, that means there is spiritual war, there is darkness going on. And I want you to know, no matter how dark it gets, that God's church still shines its light, that we can still penetrate darkness. And the good thing about it for us is that I sometimes as Christians, we complain about how this world is getting worse and worse. We complain about how dark it is. But I think for us, because we are the light of the world, we can penetrate any darkness. And God needs churches right where Satan's throne is. Isn't that something? That they were right where Satan's throne was and where he dwelled, and yet they remained faithful to him. So my first point is this, is that they were outnumbered but not overcome with fear. They were outnumbered but not overcome with fear. There were more people who was worshiping Satan and living against God. But yet, how many know if God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to know that if God is with you, he is more than those who are against you. So yes, so they were outnumbered, but they were not overcome with fear. And I want to encourage us as a body of Christ, as a church, never give in to fear. Never give in to the doom and gloom. Never give in to, oh, what's going to happen? This world is getting worse and worse and worse. I say for us, even today, we have the best opportunity as a church during these dark times to glorify God and to shine the light of the truth. No matter where it takes us, we are to glorify God. No matter, because we don't have to fear Satan, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're to stay focused on God. So this church here was outnumbered, but not overcome with fear, even though they dwell where Satan's throne is. That lets you know how wicked it was. If Satan has his throne there. Not only that, they didn't bow the knee even in the face of death. Look what it says. It says that, yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Not only were they facing persecution, but a member of their church family, Antipas, he had been persecuted. He had been martyred. He had been killed right there in the city. But it says, even in the midst of seeing someone die, it says that Antipas was a faithful witness. Think about that. He was a faithful witness even though he was killed for his faith. He remained faithful. And not only that, the church remained faithful even in the midst of death. Now think about that. That's why I said they were outnumbered but not overcome with fear. Because I don't know about you, to see someone that loved God, served God, and to see them get killed, that, okay, what do? Do you have fear or do you have faith? They chose to have faith even in the midst of seeing one of their own being killed by the enemy. Now that's faith. Now that's persecution. We won't talk about persecution. That's persecution. And that's why I always say, church, that we got to be careful when we start throwing this word around, persecution. Because it makes something like this right here, laughter, because Antipas lost his life. So when we say about, oh, we've been persecuted because we can't meet in the building. No, I ain't seen nobody get killed yet, drug out in the street because they can't meet. Because there's some restaurant can't meet either. So what I'm trying to say, it may be an inconvenience, but we ain't been persecuted. Nobody in here has lost their life because they showed up here and somebody wanted to kill you. So we got to understand the fact that we need to be prepared for that. But how we prepare for that? By looking at God's word and building our faith up on God's word. We got to be faithful no matter what comes our way. And I want you to know right now, if this little bit of what we're going through is causing your faith to shake and shiver, you're in bad shape. If you're afraid now and your faith is giving way now of what we're experiencing, can you imagine if it gets worse and they start killing Christians? And there are people right now in this world, right now, all over the world, there are some people who are losing their life for Jesus Christ. And they're being faithful. And God wants us to be faithful, and we are not to bow the knee even in the face of death. And this church here did not bow the knee. They were a faithful church. They were right where Satan lives, Satan's throne is, and they were still serving God. So yes, you can serve God in the midst of persecution. You can serve God in the midst of trials. You can still be faithful because God says for us, be faithful no matter where you are. So we are to be faithful. Then it says, but I have a few things against you. Now, when I read that, I said, come on, Jesus. Come on, this church here is, they've been faithful to you. They'll stand up in the midst of persecution. They outnumber, but they're not overcome with fear. They haven't bowed the knee. They had old faithful Deacon Antipas lose his life, and they are still faithful to you. And then God says, but I have this against you. He said, but I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. Now I want you to know, for this church to be faithful and they're going through all that they're going through, and for Jesus to say, I have something against you, lets you know how serious he takes what he has against them. That they were so faithful that someone had died, and yet Jesus said, I thank you for being faithful, but also I have something against you. He says to them, point three, unlike the church at Ephesus, they tolerated false teachers, false doctrine among their fellowship. Jesus says, yeah, you've been faithful to me. Yes, you haven't bowed the knee, but you tolerate false doctrine in your fellowship. That lets you know how serious Jesus takes false doctrine. Now, hopefully some of you did your pre-homework for this sermon because I gave you some scripture to read from Numbers 21, 22, 24. Some of you probably got tired, but if you didn't read that, then you don't understand about the stumbling block that what Balaam did, and you don't understand why Jesus is so upset with this church and why we understand that false doctrine and false teachers must be dealt with, and how Jesus takes it so seriously that this church is being persecuted, and Jesus says, hey, you've been faithful, but you allow false teaching and false doctrine among your fellowship. That's why I call this church, they're loyal, but they're liberal. They're loyal to Jesus, but they're liberal when it comes to who anybody can get up and teach and believe anything, and they don't really deal with. They tolerate false teaching. And we got to understand that we should not tolerate false teaching because false doctrine is dangerous. So dangerous that Jesus says, I got to address it. I don't care how faithful you are to me. It does matter what's being taught in the church. Amen? And many of us don't think that doctrine matters. I want you to know, doctrine matters so much that it matters to Jesus that he sent a letter from heaven down to earth and said, hey, I need you to deal with this. I know you're faithful, but don't forget that truth matters. We serve the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if he is the truth, then we must teach the truth. We must live the truth. And we can't allow anything but the truth to come and be preached in the word of God. I mean, in the house of God. So I'm going to talk to you about the truth about false doctrine. Doctrine matters. Doctrine does matter. And I think for a lot of time as churches, Christians, when we think about joining a church or being a member of a church, do we think about, hey, what's your doctrine? Or do we think about, hey, how's your youth ministry? Hey, how's your praise team? What do y'all do about this? Or do we think about, what's your doctrine? What you believe? What do you teach? Because that's important. Many of us, that's secondary or third, but that should be the first priority. What do you believe about Jesus? What is your doctrine? Because false doctrine is dangerous and can lead us astray. So my first point is this. False doctrine ultimately leads to unrighteous living. That's why Jesus had to address this, because false doctrine ultimately leads to unrighteous living. It says in that first point, it says what? You have some who hold the teaching of Balaam. Otherwise, he said, listen, you have some right in your midst that they believe false doctrine. They hold to the teaching of Balaam, and what they hold to, they practice that teaching as well. He says why? They taught, because Balaam taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they may eat food, sacrifice to idols, and practice sexual immorality. He says also, you have those who hold the teachings of the Nicolaitans. And both of those teachings, they led to sexual immorality. And so he says false doctrine leads to that, because what some were teaching, hey, since Christ died for our sins, we're not under the law anymore, then we can live how we want to. We can go to the temple, and since there is no false idols, we can go to the temple of Zeus, and we can have sex with these temple prostitutes. We can do all those things because we're under grace. We can live our life how we want to because Christ died for our sins. There is no law. We can live how we want to because we're under grace. The devil is a lie. And he was saying that there were some people that were in the church that were teaching that. They were teaching, in other words, that they were teaching that you don't have to be holy because Christ is already holy. He died for your sins. Live how you want to. And that becomes a stumbling block to the church, and that leads to unrighteous living. Yes, we are saved by grace, but God expects us to begin to live righteous life. We are to preach the holiness of God. And the Bible does say, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Yes, God will accept you how you are, but he won't leave you how he found you. And so what we're saying is that when we begin to hear the truth, we begin to live the truth, and the truth transforms our life, and we begin to live righteous life, false doctrine always leads to lawlessness and leads to unrighteous living. So that was happening in this church. They were faithful to God, but then some of them were in the midst of the church, and they were teaching, and they was holy, and they were believing something that was different. And what they were believing was now beginning to practice in their lives. What you believe is what you will practice. And we got to make sure that what we are hearing from the pulpit is the word of God, and that we don't allow false teaching to get a foothold and begin to what? Because a little leaven will do what? Leaven the whole lump. Because they dwell where? Right in Satan's throne. So that means that there were a lot of false teaching, a lot of perversion going on. So that means that the church had to be the standard of holiness and preach the truth in the midst of Satan's throne. They had to begin to preach it, and some were still, they were tolerating those who were preaching and teaching false doctrine. See, false doctrine also can have deadly consequences. False doctrine can have deadly consequences. Just ask Balaam in the Old Testament what happened to him. Because Balaam was a prophet for a prophet. Let me say that again. He was a prophet for a prophet. Like some of our prophets today. They are a prophet for a prophet. And Balaam was a prophet for a prophet. He wanted to get the money. He wanted to do whatever it takes to get the money. And yet God wouldn't let him. So he said, since I can't curse you, I'll put a stumbling block in your midst. And that stumbling block led Israel to sin. It had deadly consequences. Numbers 31, verse 16. I'm sure you what it reads. It says, behold, these on Balaam's advice, talking about children of Israel, on Balaam's advice, caused the people of Israel to act treacherously against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And so the plague came among the congregation of the Lord. So that when they begin, so here's what Balaam said. Since I can't curse God's people, I would get them to sin against God, and God would have to judge his people. So he begins to say, hey, listen, let some of your Moabite women, let them go and intermingle in the midst of Israel. And now when Israel begins to see the women, they begin to commit sexual immorality, and then they begin to let the women lead them astray to begin to worship false gods. And then God will come down, and God himself will destroy them and be against him. And that's exactly what happened. Because false doctrine can lead to deadly consequences. What you believe does matter. What a church preaches does matter. What a church tolerates in its midst does matter. We got to be careful. We can't believe anything that comes through the word of God. Come from the pulpit. We got to be to check everything and make sure that it lines up with scripture. And we got to make sure, hey, is it the truth coming forth? So false doctrine can have deadly consequences. Matter of fact, it's so deadly that Jesus said to them, that he said, listen, you need to repent. If not, I will come soon and do what? War against them with the word. Sword of my mouth. Other words, Jesus says that if they don't repent, I'm going to come and wage a war with the sword of my mouth. It can have deadly consequences. And that's what my point three is this. False teachers must be exposed and expelled from the church. Now you might say, well, Pastor, that's not showing love. You want to expel people from, expose them and expel them from the church? Yeah, when it comes to false doctrine. See, we can get along except when it comes to what we teach in false doctrine, because false doctrine leads to unrighteous living, and false doctrine has deadly consequences. Therefore, we must expose it and expel those who refuse to repent and begin to teach. See, we might have, hey, we ain't got to dress alike, eat alike, but we got to believe alike. We got to teach the right things. And so we can't have false doctrine coming from being tolerated in the church because a little leaven leavened the whole lump. And look what Paul says in Romans 16, verse 17. Here's what he says. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to what? The doctrine that you have been taught. And do what? Avoid them. He says, watch out for them and avoid them. Why? Because false doctrine leads to what? Division. See, they want to separate people. See, once you let false doctrine stay in the church, it will cause division because some say, well, I believe this and I believe this. No, we have to have the same unity of faith. See, we can minor on some minor, but some major things we must major on. We can't allow false doctrine just to linger. And we say, well, that's what they believe. As long as you don't, I believe something different. No, not when it comes to false doctrine. We got to deal with that. And we need to understand as church, we got to make sure that we understand doctrine. What is doctrine? The whole teaching of God, what God says about a subject. There's the doctrines of Christ. There's the doctrine of the church. There's the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. There's the doctrine of, you know, of humanity. There are a lot of doctrines that we need to understand. What does it mean? Even the doctrine of Christ. If someone says in our midst that Jesus Christ is not fully God and fully man, then, hey, we got to believe that. Yes, he is. But someone says, I don't believe that. That's okay. No, that's a problem. Now, that's a major problem. We got to expose that. And if you don't come to grips with what we believe, then God bless you. Don't let the door hit you with the good Lord split you. Amen. We have to expose that. And we got to say, there's some things that we have to believe that Jesus Christ, yes, he was born of a virgin and he died a sinless death and that he rose again from dead. So in other words, someone can't say, well, hey, I don't believe Christ rose from the dead. That's a problem. We have to address it. No, he did rise from the dead. He is God. He is the only Savior. There is only one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. There's not a whole bunch of Saviors. There isn't but one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, and that is what we must believe here if we want to have fellowship with one another. We can't tolerate any false doctrine when it comes to Jesus. We must stand upon the truth of God's word, and the most loving thing we can do is to protect the church from false teaching. That's the most loving thing we can do. And that's why he says that we as a church, he says, well, hey, watch out. Then he says, hey, you know, avoid them. Don't hang around them. Don't be with them. Don't hang with people who teach false doctrine. Don't hang with people who believe false doctrine. No, can't do that. And see, also it says, he wrote the letter and he says, and to the angel of the church, at Pergamum. We believe that as the messenger, the pastors of the church. He wrote to the pastors. And my point is this, that one of the responsibilities of the pastor is to guard the church against false doctrine. One of the responsibilities of the pastor is to guard the church against false doctrine. My job is to, one of them is to guard you from false teaching. That's why everybody come and say they've been called by God, then when they called to this pulpit. You may be called by God, I mean you're going to have a call and be preached here. Because my job is to protect the church and protect you all from false doctrine, from false teaching. Why? Because it's deadly. Leads to unrighteous living. And we don't want God warring against us with his mouth. Amen? So look what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. He talks about Timothy, who was to be the pastor of the church of Ephesus. Here's what he says to him. He says, I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus. Why? So that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Now that word charge means that so you may command them not to teach certain doctrine. That means that Timothy, you have the responsibility and you have the authority to tell these people you are to teach or to believe or to teach false doctrine. He said, nor to devote themselves to myths and to endless genealogy which promote what? Speculations. Rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. See, the aim of our charge is what? Love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Then he says, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions. Let me start right there. See, vain discussions, something don't mount to nothing. See, when we have vain discussion, we start speculating. And see what happened? The enemy would love more than to get your mind off Jesus and about him dying for your sin. You start talking about, so, well, when Jesus coming back? Listen, you don't know. I don't know when Jesus coming back. Only we know he's coming back. But why he's coming back, he told us to work until he comes. Work means the fact that you go and make disciples until he comes. But you start worrying about this, you start worrying about this. Now you start having vain discussions that don't amount to nothing. He says, hey, be careful about that. Focus on the doctrine. He says, now because some people, they are desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. He says, Timothy, your job as the pastor is to charge people not to teach false doctrine. So that means also the pastor has authority from what comes, has responsibility and authority for what comes from the pulpit, what people are teaching. So I have to protect that. So I tell people all the time, listen, I know you say God called you. I ain't arguing with you about that. But I argue about you whether God called you to preach from here. Because at the end of the day, I had to be responsible for what being coming across the pulpit. So we got to be careful. That's why you can't be amen and everything. Amen. Amen means I agree. Some of you want to say, I'll see. I know amen. I'll see in a minute. Let me flip the script and let me see. I know amen. I'll see in a minute. So sometimes you got to say, I'll see, but I amen. But we got to be careful because we got to understand, Jesus said this church was faithful. They had a faithful witness, and yet Jesus says, I have this against you. You tolerate false things. See, there are some things we are not to tolerate. False doctrine. We are to be loving, we are to be caring for people, but we cannot tolerate false doctrine because it leads to vain discussion and it leads to carrying people away, and we got to be focused, major on the major, focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Focus on that because that's for sure. So we got to understand those things. But I love what Jesus says though. He says, therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon. He said, I'll come real quick. Then he says, I'll war against what? Them. With the sword of, he said, I'll come to you, but I'm going to wage war against. So who is them? The false teachers. I'm going to come to you. In other words, Jesus says, I'm going to come to my church and I'm going to do what? Clean house. I'm going to war against them. But he says, now, but first of all, the responsibility is for you to repent and deal with this first. He first of all said that we as a church, we have a mandate to deal with it, to expose them and to expel them. That's what we're to do. And who should be leading the charge? The pastor and the elders. You can't do that because we are to make sure that there is no false teaching among us. That's what he said in verse 17 again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, he is speaking to the Pergamon church, but this principle applies to all the churches. Get that? He said what he is saying to the churches. So false doctrine and false teaching shouldn't be tolerated in any church. Not only beyond the walls, but any church that name the name of Jesus Christ, it shouldn't be tolerated. And boy, I'm telling you right now, during this time, we have a lot of false prophets, false teaching, false doctrine being spilled even as we speak. False doctrine, false teaching, and people do know. And that's why, you know, I tell people all the time, listen, I don't tell you who to listen to. Listen to who you want to. But make sure you have a discerning ear for what you hear. And make sure you spend most of your time who feeding you. Now, listen, I love to eat out, but I eat mostly at my own house. Amen? So it means that as a church, you should be eating mostly from your own church. In other words, you should be eating from you should hear a lot of pastors, but your main teacher should come from the pastor God's given you. You see what I'm saying? Oh, my favorite pastor is so-and-so. Well, I hope it's me. Well, I'm sorry. Never mind. Anyway, I'm sorry. I ain't trying to be petty. I'm sorry. But stay focused. Stay focused. It ain't about me, it's about Jesus. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is this. If God has given me the authority to shepherd over you and to protect you, then you got to make sure you ain't going out there listening to everyone in doctrine that you hear and say, oh, this must be true. Let me tell the pastor. Hey, pastor, you heard about this? No, I hear what Jesus had to say. And it's my responsibility to remember I said about how people are able to understand counterfeit people, how they able to tell whether money is counterfeit. They study the real thing. See, I believe that you are to be exposed to the truth daily, on a daily basis, that you, when you hear something, you say, that don't sound right. That don't sound like, that don't sound biblical. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you to what? All truth. So when you are exposed to the real, to the Word of God, you know the truth. You say, man, that does not sound like the Word of God. And you are not to deal with that. So Jesus said to them, hey, listen, I want you to deal with this. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He says this, to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. He says that we are to pay attention to what God has to say. We're to make sure that we're not tolerating false doctrine or being led astray by false doctrine. We are to persevere and overcome false doctrine. And when we do, Jesus says this, I will give you some of the hidden manna. What was the hidden manna? That was the manna that God gave to the people of Israel to help them be, you know, sustained during their wilderness wandering. He says that God said, I will give you some hidden manna. I will give you some nourishment. I will give you something to sustain you even in the midst of the trials or what you're going through. I will give you manna to sustain you as you're going through trials, as you're going through this life. I will give you hidden manna to sustain you. Otherwise, I will continue to nourish you. Now, is he talking about real food? I think he's talking about the Word of God, because he says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So when we begin to study and hold on to the truth, God will give us more truth that will sustain us and it will strengthen us through the times that we go through. He said, I will give you some hidden manna. Then he says, I will give him a white stone with a new name. What is a white stone with a new name? Now, in Roman culture, a white stone with a new name, a white stone that they got was really that was an accent. It was like what we get today when you go to a place and you go to a concert, they give you an admission ticket, like a little red ticket, you give it to them. Well, back in those days, they gave them a white stone with their name written on it, and they could get into certain places. They had exclusive access to certain things. And so what God is saying, that when you overcome and when you deal and you overcome and don't give in to false teaching, he says that I will give you exclusive access to me, and I will give you a new name written on this stone that no one knows except the one whose name is written on it. In other words, God says that when we come through trials and when we deal with persecution, that God said, I will sustain you, and also I give you access to me. Exclusive access. And to give you a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Don't you want exclusive access to Jesus? Don't you want to be closer to him? Don't you want to be closer to him? I do. But it all depends upon your faithfulness to Jesus. God wants us to overcome. Remember, I said again that not everyone is going to receive a reward in heaven. It's about your faithfulness to God here on earth. See, you get no reward for your salvation because you did nothing for it. Christ did that. All to him we owe, right? But how you live your life and your faithfulness, God will give you a reward. Now, you should not be motivated by the reward. You're motivated by your faith and your love for God. But God said, I reward you based on your faithfulness. And for some of us, we won't get our rewards here. We won't get them in heaven, because in heaven they last for eternity. And some people are going to get new names in heaven based on their faithfulness on earth. That's good news, isn't it? And that's why we got to make sure, we got to understand what false doctrine is and what it leads to, unrighteous living. It has deadly consequences, and we must expose it and expel it. And the pastor has a responsibility to protect the flock. So let's talk about the principles to live by, how we can live by what we've been taught today. Because we don't want to hear the word, we want to obey the word. Amen? It says this, point one, never compromise the word of God for the sake of friendships. Now I'm thinking to myself, why would this church who has been faithful, who has had one of their faithful witnesses die, Antipas, why would they tolerate false doctrine in their midst? Maybe because that their love went too far. And what I mean by that, because they had people, they had family, they had friends that believed certain things, and they were willing to expose them and to expel them from the church. And I would tell us we should never compromise the word of God for the sake of friendship. Hey, I can listen, we can be friends, but if you start talking about some Jesus is not Lord and he's not who he say he is, then whoa, that's a problem. That's a problem. And so sometimes as a church, we think that church discipline is unloving. And the most loving thing we can do is to discipline someone in the church. Because we love them. And then the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So God himself will discipline you. So when we begin disciplining people, it's because we love you. And one another thing about this, we don't want to compromise the word of God for the sake of friendships. I can be friends with Elder, but he preached something crazy. I'm going to let him know. And if he keep doing it, he's not going to be an elder here at Beyond the Walls. You see what I'm saying? That's loving. But listen, bro, I'm going to compromise the word of God for friendships. Because it's about Jesus. All to him I owe. And that is so important for us. And sometimes we begin to tolerate people in churches who do things, who teach false doctrine, because we don't want to be unloving. No, the most loving thing we can do is not compromise the word of God. And Jesus said to this church, no matter how faithful, no matter how many people died, been loyal to me, we can't be liberal when it comes to the word of God. We can't tolerate false doctrine. We ought to be focused on what's truth and build our faith on the solid rock. Also, point two, see, sound doctrine is essential to the health and spiritual maturity of a church. You can't have a healthy church with unhealthy food. You got to be nourished on the word of God. Amen? God wants us to be healthy, and God wants us to be spiritually mature. That means that you got to have a healthy, consistent diet on the word of God. See, you can't always have sweets. You know, every Sunday, you're getting sweets every Sunday. And someday you have what? You're going to have what? Cavities. So sometimes you got to eat some stuff that you don't like, the vegetables, you don't like eating vegetables, you got to eat those vegetables, you got to eat certain things. You can't all have but sweets. Amen? You got to have some healthy and mature word of God. And that's why it says in 1 Peter 2 verses 1 through 3, says this. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn babe, infants long for the pure spiritual milk. Why? That by it you may grow up into your salvation. By what? The word of God. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. See, we got to grow up in our faith. Yeah, we might start out on milk, but eventually as we get milk, we'll do what? We'll start getting some meat. See, every baby ain't got no teeth. They want some milk. But eventually, they're going to want some meat. That means they are growing. They need something else to fill their stomach up. See, in other words, you shouldn't be a babe. You've been saved for 10 years. Shouldn't be walking around saying, I'm still a babe in Christ. No, you got to be, God wants you to mature. We want you to mature in your faith. Why? So you can grow, so you can begin to what? Be a productive member of the family of God. God wants you to grow up in your faith. But sound doctrine is essential. What are you feeding the church, pastor? What are you feeding the congregation, pastor? Hopefully it's the word of God. Some need milk, but eventually we want everybody to be on meat. And that's a true word of God. We got to make sure that we have sound doctrine, because sound doctrine leads to what? Sound living. Righteous teaching leads to righteous living. We need that. We need to have ourselves built upon the word of God. That's why he says, if you overcome, I'll give you a white stone with a new name written on that stone that no one else knows except the one who receives it. See, my goal here is to teach the word of God in such a way that it transforms your life, that you begin to live for Jesus no matter what. No matter what comes your way, you live for Jesus. No matter what you face, you won't fear. No matter what goes on in our world today, we won't lose our minds, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. And while I was telling people, we can't be scary cats Christians. We got to be courageous Christians. We can't be doom and gloom Christians either. We got to be faithful. Listen, we don't run to persecution, but we don't run from persecution. Also, point three, faithfulness to Jesus Christ is predicated on being faithful to his word. Amen. Faithfulness to Jesus Christ is predicated on being faithful to his word. That word is truth. God's word is truth. And we must be faithful to what? His word. Not faithful to a person, to a pastor, faithful to the word of God. And if we preach in the word of God, we're going to be faithful to what God says, because the word of God is what gives us our direction and gives us instruction on how to live our lives. Amen? Amen? It leads us into all righteousness, the word of God. And we need that in our lives. And so, yes, I know that sometimes these messages won't make you shout. Some messages are called to make you go ouch. Some messages are called to make you go ponder and they make you think. But all of them are made for you to obey and transform and to govern your life according to the word of God. It's to transform us. And God, help us. Help me to be faithful to the word, to faithfully teach the word of God. And help us to be faithful to not only hear it, but to obey it and to live it and to also teach it to other people. We have to be careful that we don't start majoring on other stuff and forget the word of God. The word of God is important. So important that Jesus says, I need you, the church of Pergamum, to deal with the false teachers in your midst. He says, yes, you've been faithful to me. You're loyal to me, but you're liberal. I need you to stand upon the word of God and the truth of God and don't allow false teachers to overtake your church. It's amazing how that happens in life. Tragic story of a church. Pastor was faithful, teaching the word of God, to all of a sudden he switched. Start teaching false doctrine. Start to say that, hey, you know, Christ died for everybody, so there is no sin. You ain't got to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He died for everybody. All roads lead to heaven. He began to preach that, teach that. And you know what happened? The church dwindled, went away. And I say, you know what? Good for that church. Because Jesus came and fought against that church with the word of his mouth. And the church was no more. And come to find out, the pastor was living an unrighteous life. Because he had succumbed to false teaching. So God said, I can't tolerate that in my midst. Because false doctrine will always lead to unrighteous living. And we got to be careful. Beloved church, make sure that you always, just don't believe what I'm saying because I'm saying it. Check it by the word of God. Go back and read the scriptures. Go back and search it for yourself. Take God at his word. Like we said, military, trust but verify. Be a Berean. Go back and see, is that what the word of God says? And any pastor that works his soul wouldn't be offended for you to go back and search the scriptures to make sure it is so. Go back and search the scriptures for yourself and see what I'm saying is true. God wants us to have sound doctrine because sound doctrine leads to sound living. And we want to love people, but we can't tolerate false teaching. So how do we take it beyond the walls? How do we live this out? How do we apply this to our lives? We want to thank Jesus for his mighty power and his unchanging word. God's word doesn't change. God's word does not need to be updated. We need to be updated, rewritten, updated to make a few changes. Now God's word is unchanging. His mighty power is unchanging, unceasing. But pray that we would be able to spiritually discern the difference between truth and lies.